If you are able to stand for the reading of God's glorious, infallible, inerrant word, please stand. From Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. Paul writing to the Romans, a church he had not yet visited, these words: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from heaven, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Thank you, Lord, for your word. Fill our hearts with it. Amen. Paul is writing to the Romans, as I said, a church that he had not yet visited. It was not a church that he founded. We were not absolutely sure who founded the church in Rome. We think it probably was either Peter or Apollos, the great evangelist. But he writes to the church, and as you know, Romans is perhaps my favorite book of the Bible. I've been studying it for years, along with the other books, of course. But it is sometimes called Paul's gospel, and I think in a way it is. And so he's writing to the Romans, and he's writing out of the context that is very similar to our own culture. How many of you all experience a culture that is not only not open to the gospel, but is in fact indifferent, and if not indifferent, hostile to it? One of our members, and I think I shared this before, said to a lady at the hospital she'd been talking to, and a very sweet, friendly lady, and she says, "Well, God bless you." And the lady became angry and said, "Don't talk to me about the God stuff." And that is increasingly a reality, because as I've talked to people that were not only indifferent to it, but hostile when you talk about it. That was Paul's situation. The Greeks rejected the gospel out of hand for supposedly intellectual reasons. And the Jews rejected it because talking about the Messiah being crucified was a stumbling block that they simply couldn't accept. And if you read the book of Acts and follow Paul's journeys, at every hand he met hostility in sharing the gospel. Shame always carries with it the sense of embarrassment. You know that? If you're ashamed of something, it's generally because it carries with it the quality of that being seen in your life, or that being heard from you would be embarrassing. Now, there are some things we ought to be embarrassed about, but the gospel is not one. I am not embarrassed about the gospel. I am not ashamed of it. And Paul is trying to communicate to the churches to be bold in the power of Christ in being a witness to the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel, he said. And we as believers today should not be ashamed of it either. You know, I lost a brother a few days ago to a dreaded disease. And many of us have had loved ones stricken by that disease or another. And we've watched them suffer, and we've endured with them the pain. And you know, if we knew of a cure for that deadly disease, would we be shy, or would we be ashamed to come and say, "Dear brother, you may not know it, but here is this doctor. He's in Atlanta. He's very successful in treating your illnesses. I want to drive you down myself to see him." No, we wouldn't be ashamed to do that, would we? In fact, we would be glad to do it, wouldn't we? We would be thrilled if we had the place where we could take a sick loved one to be healed. Now, wouldn't we? We'd go to any lengths, wouldn't we? We would sell whatever we had if we could cure them, wouldn't we? I would. And I wouldn't be the least bit ashamed to tell them about it. You know, we all have friends and relatives and acquaintances and people we bump into that have the deadliest disease of all. The deadliest disease of all. And that disease is living and dying apart from a living faith relationship in Jesus Christ. As I've told you before, that is absolutely the worst place that we can be. Yesterday, I married a dear friend. The old Shamrock Golf Course is passing away. But I met him there. I was a poor preacher, really poor then. But I loved to play golf, and Calvin Walker, the owner, always let preachers play on Monday for free. Now, I like anything free, almost anything free. And I went over there about the first Monday I found out about it. I think I'd lived here a month or so, and to play. And I met this little bushy-headed Lutheran preacher. I was telling you this at the funeral. He had his hair done up like guys would do, you know. Remember, a semi-afro, I think it was. And he looked like Conway Twitty. And he hated it. Because people come up, you know, think. And so we were playing the golf tournament at Charlotte one time, and we weren't playing very well because we were playing very early, and these waitresses were standing in the background, and I could see them. So I said, "Well, I'll give them a thrill." So when we finished, I stood up. He didn't see him. I said, "Well, Conway, we better get to the tee." "I told you it was. I told you." Made him so mad. But anyway, this, I laid him to rest yesterday. But he's alive. He had the worst disease a person could ever have. But by God's sovereign grace, through the witness, I believe, of his mother an elderly Lutheran minister, by their witness to him, he changed. And people were talking yesterday about the dramatic change that came into his life when he accepted Christ. By God's grace, through the witness of his beloved mother and a pastor, God healed him through the power of Jesus Christ from death to everlasting life. Now, that's the best thing that can happen to a person. Do you know that? That's the best thing that'll happen to your child. Your child may be a famous athlete, but if he doesn't have Jesus Christ, he's lost. He has nothing. They may be a famous physician or this or that, but without Christ, they have no hope. They are afflicted with the worst disease a human being can have. You know, I've known the passion to try to reach loved ones that are living and dying apart from Christ. Dearest friends, why would you ever be embarrassed or ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a person whom you fear is lost? Why? Why would you ever be ashamed to share with them the message of the powerful, eternal healing that can come in Jesus Christ? Now, Church of Jesus Christ, here gathered, I am absolutely convinced 100% that this is a real church, not a pseudo church like some in the city. But I want to say to you this morning that we know clearly that there is no other name under heaven whereby men might be saved except Jesus Christ. There is no other source for coming to God except Jesus Christ. I don't care how good you are or how famous you are or what you've accomplished. I don't care even how many times you've been to church. If you come to church not as a disciple of Jesus, there is no other name, no other means by which you will see God and His kingdom. That's true for your mom and your daddy, your sons, your daughters, but above all, it's true for yourself. I don't perceive that any here who have not surrendered, but listen, it is necessary. And that glorious gospel, the word gospel means good news. We all know that from the Greek. It's good news. Why should we be ashamed of it? In fact, it is the best. That I was a sinner saved by grace through Jesus Christ being born again. That's the best thing that ever happened to me. It is the most glorious thing that happens to any of us. Because what it really does, it brings us from the place of eternal death and punishment to the place of eternal life. Why do I love when the roll is called up yonder every time I sing it? I see the face of Jesus waiting on me. Dearest friends, as I said, as I began the series of sermons, the problem in the world today is not that we need capitalism or socialism or any ism. The problem in the world today, the problem with America, the problem that police officers' lives are discarded as nothing, the problem that people go without food and et cetera, is not the problem that government can solve. The only solution to this nation's problems and to the people of this nation is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is not being witnessed by the church faithfully enough. How many of you talked to a lost person this week and told them what Jesus had done for you? How many? I gloried at all the hands that went up at your question. Didn't know you were going to do that, but it fits right in. If I ask you to raise that hand this morning, oh yes, Pastor. I talked to my sister or my cousin or my coworker or someone about how Jesus healed me and blessed me and how I glory going to church to worship Him and how it fills my life with joy. I want to know, if my friend, do you know that? Do you really know the Savior who loves you? Have you done that? Why? Because you're ashamed? Because you're embarrassed as to how you might receive? Because you're afraid of the consequences? Again, I talked to you about my youngest son, Jim. He puts me to shame. It's a good thing for a father to say that, you know. I never wanted them to be like me. I wanted them to be better than me. And he witnesses the gospel up and down the halls of those hospitals to every patient he cares for? And I said, well, you're in a secular hospital, you might get fired. What a is his answer. What a glorious thing to be fired for serving Jesus. And he's got more bills than most of us have. Why are you ashamed? Why are you afraid? Why are you timid? Because you don't realize I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now listen to what he says next. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. I want you to focus on this. What is it? It is the power of God. The power of God. When you release the gospel in a personal witness, what you're really releasing is the power of God. Do you believe in that power is sovereign? The Bible says God's word never returns to him void, and it doesn't. It may return to him through a person coming to faith in Jesus Christ, or it may return to him as the grounds of judgment over a person that rejects him. But it always has an effect. You have the gospel. To tell the gospel, to witness the gospel, does not rest in your power, but in God's. You see, we got to start thinking that. You know, we don't have a method to save souls. There ain't but one method. That's God's method. And God's method is accomplished through what God wills. And part of that will is that we, his people, share the gospel. And invite people to receive a living faith relationship with him. And that gospel's for everyone who believes. I watch two preachers for sure, and usually three if I have time on Sunday morning. I don't just like to preach. I like to hear good preaching. And I listen to Dr. Dave Jeremiah. And I listen to Dr. Michael Yosef. And if I can work the time in before I have to get this handsome body groomed for your all's meeting, I watch Dr. Charles Stanley. But as I've mentioned more than once to Elizabeth, you know, those men's congregations, and I think to a degree ours does too, those witness to the world about the true nature of the church just through the congregations, because they're red and yellow, black and white. Every race you can name is present there. That is the way the church ought to be. Who are our kind of people? Well, our kind of people is everybody who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Without regard to ethnic creed or race or economic standard, whatever standard the world imposes, that means nothing to me. And it means nothing to the true church. What does he say? It is for everybody. The gospel is for everybody. Not just for the pretty and handsome, but for people that are like Brian Page. Only kidding, Brian. If you had hair, you'd be the best-looking man in his church. but it's for everybody. And that ought to be our approach as a church, too. It is for everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. What's that mean? That means that God's holiness and righteousness, seen through his justice but also his mercy, is revealed from faith to faith. And he goes all the way back to Abraham to remind us that the just shall live by faith. I was talking to a person recently, and I'm going to bring this to a close. A person recently says, oh, there's so much in my life I don't think the Lord could receive me. Now, this person wasn't using that as a cheap two-bit excuse, as some people used to blow you off. This person was sincere, and I said, my friend, it has nothing to do with your past. It has to do with your present. And today I tell you this, if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, you are acceptable. You see, God doesn't care about people's past. Did you know that? He cares about their future. And that's why he sent his son. To destroy the power of the past and its sin, and to give them life everlasting. Why would you be ashamed of the gospel? It saved you. Why should sharing the gospel not be, as my sermon title says, an act that we do with joy and gladness? It is a testimony of what the Lord has done for us. Doesn't that make your heart glad to know that? That to know you, a sinner separated from God by your sins, have had those sins forgiven, and you have a place when the roll is called up yonder. Why should that not fill you with joy? And why should that not fill you with an enthusiasm? Because what that old song says, what Jesus has done for others, done for me, done for you, he will do for others. For ye are his witnesses. Beginning first in this place, and in this community, and even to the farthest corners of the earth, and to be used of God to fulfill that ministry is the greatest joy we will know. And the preacher said amen, and we knew it was over. Let's join together in our closing hymn.